This is Holiday Readings and Remembrances, reflections on the season as told by members of the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. I'm Stan Wright. Today we revisit A California Christmas, as told by NMU Professor of English and poet Austin Hummel.
Every year at Christmas time, we drive to my cousin's house to watch my uncle Euphrates stuff a huge Christmas tree into a squat Florida home. My uncle was a tall man with tall children and a wife who would look at you sternly and with suspicion when you walked through her kitchen. My uncle Freight, as we called him, was not himself a serious man, but he was all business when putting up and trimming his Christmas tree. You never in your life saw such a commotion. At Christmas, he would climb up half a ladder and start ordering around anyone who would listen. He was never prepared for any task, and noticeably inefficient when undertaking one. He would send my sister to fetch a hammer, and then send me afterwards to tell her which one. For my Uncle Freight, children were a mystery. He saw them as short, incompetent people. Even my cousins, his own children, perplexed him. When one of them would hand something up to him, it was always pointed the wrong way. "I don't know what's wrong with you people," he would say to us, gasp, and then reach for his glasses. Somehow his glasses were never where he put them. "What have you all done with my glasses?" he would say, squinting and in an injured tone. "Doesn't anybody in this whole house know where my glasses are? Look at you, four of you, and you can't find a pair of glasses that I put down just 5 minutes ago." Then he would scratch the top of his head, and they'd fall off. That year he had cut down the ugliest Virginia pine any of us had ever seen. It was at least 3 feet taller than the ceiling, and even more lopsided than the trees we were used to seeing him drag in. "This one," my mother said, "looked like a Yeti had taken a bite out of it." Even still, it was so big my uncle decided to run a wire from wall to wall to hold the tree up. Though a sensible precaution, any difficult work like this made us kids nervous. We were used to the tree falling on us. It happened each year. Four of us would be standing in a skirt beneath him, waiting to pass things up. My uncle would lean the tree against the ladder just for a second, while he stood and cleaned his glasses with a handkerchief, the same handkerchief he blew snot into. When the tree rolled off the ladder and into our faces, knocking us down, pinning us to the floor, he would ask us what we thought we were doing, putting up a tree or pulling one down. That year, the year of the monster mangled pine, as my uncle leaned over to twist a screw eye into the wall, he started to lose his balance, grabbed the top of the tree to steady him, and then fell with tree-like slowness from the top step of the ladder onto my aunt's piano halfway across the room, a really dynamic musical effect being produced by the force with which his shoulders and head hit the keys at the same time. It was then that my Aunt Sarah would say, "I will not have the children listen to language like this." My mother's family was full of smart women. My father's family was full of Uncle Pete. That Christmas, my Uncle Pete watched my Uncle Freight from the comfort of an armchair. Pete was a man who loved a pipe. For Pete, a pipe was a means to speak while gritting his teeth. I'm pretty sure he thought he looked smarter that way, what with the smoke stinging one eye half closed. When he spoke, he often looked like a pirate confiding in you. But he was not a bright man by even the lowest standards, and he knew it. When he tried to talk to the smarter, female side of the family, he mostly quoted William Powell. Each year he greeted my mother with the same routine. He would grab her shoulders, as if to appraise her, lean back from his waist, cock his head to one side and say, "Give me my pipe and my slippers and a beautiful woman, and you can have my pipe and my slippers." TV was pretty much all my Uncle Pete would do on holiday. You could tell he thought it was a sufficient entertainment. He liked TV, but he loved movies. He had committed to memory most of the dialogue from William Powell Myrna Loy movies. If he could have lived with the gin in his hand and Myrna Loy on his arm, he would have lived that way. For a man, he had a large heart. But then Myrna Loy fit inside the heart of many men in his day. Pete would echo Jimmy Stewart, who once said, "There ought to be a law against any man who doesn't want to marry Myrna Loy." Michael Pete had no harm in his heart, and all us kids could tell. His heart had far outstripped his mind in development. Probably because of this, he saw past all the arguments the coming together of our families produced. After a few drinks, he reasoned this way. If I love Myrna Loy, and Myrna Loy loves William Powell, and everyone loves William Powell, then I love everybody, right? My grandmother would sit stunned at that. She was a Christian Scientist. She was the kind of woman who could only follow the faith of other women. She knew deep down into her soul that men were stupid, and that here, again, was evidence of it. I think what stunned her most was that, in principle, she agreed with him, with this idiot from the other side of the family. I imagine that her last thought, before she spoke to point out that there was a fault in the premise of his logic, was that maybe some of them were good. Maybe some men were good. But my Uncle Pete would miss all that. He was too busy digging into his Santa bag of bad jokes. "Premise?" he asked. "Well, I guess everything has its drawbacks," said the man when his mother-in-law died and he was asked for funeral expenses. That's when my mother would look at my father and rattle the keys. There wasn't much the two sides of my family agreed upon. Not God, not Richard Nixon, not even barbecue. That Christmas there was a long and heated discussion about busing that bored my cousin and I into the other room. It's not hard to figure out what makes families so different from each other. The common ground we share is that each of us thinks our own family is the strangest one, the one with the most crazies in it. Probably we can't be all right. Probably what makes our families seem insane is that we know everyone in them so well, maybe too well, for them to seem normal. That Christmas, the Christmas of the gargantuan pine, my cousin and I played paper football for 4 hours. I remember because it was a record for us. My cousin kept a list of our records in the back flap of his Guinness book. 5 hours and 23 minutes playing ping pong, not counting the breaks for sweet tea. 7 hours and 10 minutes playing frisbee golf. My cousin was the kind of boy who could talk you into anything. That Saturday, after we got tired of making field goal posts with our thumbs, my cousin and I returned to the living room where everyone else was watching a movie. It was quiet, weirdly quiet, when we walked in and saw Judy Garland sitting in a window with a small girl. She was singing a song called "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." It was the saddest, prettiest song I had ever heard, and I could tell it had transformed my family. My Uncle Freight had my sister in his lap and his legs wrapped around his wife, who was smiling and crying. My Uncle Pete had one arm around my grandmother and another around my cousin's dog. I could see in their relaxed, contented faces, even in the face of the dog, that everyone had laid aside his strife. That, at least in the faces of the adults, they all agreed about something, whatever it was. Maybe it was about movies. Maybe it was about song. Maybe it was about Judy Garland, who was always most beautiful when she was trying to cheer herself up. Whatever it was, I'm often grateful that that movie, that song, or that moment of days-end exhaustion brought all my family together.
Holiday Readings and Remembrances is a Public Radio 90 production produced at the WNMU-FM studios in the Learning Resources Center on the campus of Northern Michigan University. I'm your producer and host, Stan Wright. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.